This is your host, Sam Jarocki from J-Rock Lawn Care and Gardening, speaking about all things lawn care, garden related, and business wise, whether you do this at home for a bit of fun or if you're trying to break into the business. Sit tight and enjoy the podcast.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Cut Crew Competitions proudly sponsors the Green Industry Podcast. Cut Crew Competitions gives you the chance to win high-end commercial equipment for as little as 99 pence. We pride ourselves on high-chance competitions and even instant wins, with 10% of all sales going to the winner's chosen charity. So, is your name going to be next on the winner's wall? There's only one way to find out. Visit the link in the description and head over to cutcrewcompetitions.co.uk to enter today. Use the discount code GREENINDUSTRY for 10% off. Good luck, and we'll see you on the winner's wall soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another J-Rock's Green Industry Podcast. Here we are in episode number 93, titled Growing Your Business. Now, first thing I want to address is, I suppose, an apology for not keeping up with these podcasts over the last month. I've just been looking there, and the last one we aired out, as you may know, was the 25th of June. Now, if you're one of those, you know, people that tune in, week out and rely on the podcasts, or not so much rely, but really enjoy the podcasts, then you'll know this, that, you know, it's been a while since it's been out. But for those that are just sort of catching up, you're probably thinking, hey, what's the difference? Nothing's changed. I am just like working my way through. But what's happened is the last 4 weeks have been mega busy. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had staff holidays between me taking some time off and, you know, staff last week taking time off, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But amongst that and just being busy, I suppose, I've just not been able to keep up with them. What has came to my attention with it, and the reason why I want to just push out on this point a little bit, is I suppose I never fully realized how much this podcast had maybe gotten into your weekly routines, is probably a way to say it. That sometimes, you know, I'm just one man here sat in behind a laptop and a microphone recording these podcast episodes, and it's very easy to just, you know, I do get the messages from you and I really appreciate them, but it is very easy sometimes for me to just feel like, not preaching to the choir, but that they're not going anywhere to an extent, you know, that they're not hitting your ears, and you're not and that people aren't taking on these bits of advice and my stories and my experiences, you know, as much as what yous actually are. So what's came to my attention is, you know, there's been plenty of sort of reaching out and saying, oh, look, where's the podcast at? Really missing the podcast. Normally listen to them every Monday, normally listen to them every weekend. You know, where are they at? And that's been pretty wholesome, I suppose, to be able to know that people are actually missing them and that, like I said, they're in your weekly routines. And what I think it kind of shows is that when we build up on certain routines and we get in a certain rhythms, I suppose, that we then rely on that rhythm, we rely on that voice or whatever it might be. And not saying you're relying on me personally, but you're enjoying having the podcast coming through, and it may be just the fact that it's a little bit of light and entertainment for you. It might be that you just like listening to podcasts and this is one down that you haven't been able to listen to. Or it might be the fact that you've been thinking that they've been working for you and that you've been able to adapt certain parts of your business and grow from them. And if that is the case, then I just want to say thank you very much for tuning in. And again, just apologies that I haven't been able to get around to them. But as I'll talk about in this episode about growing your business, we're kind of going from that, and while I'm going through that, certain things have dropped down. And as I've explained, it's not been so much a factor of I haven't had time, because I think that would be a poor excuse. No one has every single minute of the day tied up into something. But what I've found is it's been a mental thing. You know, it's been getting up at 5, half 5 in the morning, kind of running through till sort of 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, doing whatever computer work or getting things ready for the next day. And it's just been that mental capacity of, I don't know if I've got much more that I can put out. You know, I just want to sit there and chill out sometimes. So, yeah, that's kind of been where I've at. And if anyone's been wondering why they haven't been coming out, everything's okay. It's just been the fact of, I suppose, I've just been a bit mentally drained with it. And therefore, it's been lacking. It's been hard to get motivated on the side of things. And also, what I always want to push out through these podcast episodes, or when I do YouTube videos, or if I'm doing Instagram story, is we all show the good bits. that's something that everyone needs to take away from everything you see on social media or from people talking, you know, that has an audience in front of them. And my voice just cracked there. It's been a while. The old voice box isn't trained to this anymore at the moment. But it's one of them that people that have an audience in front of them, we often push the good things and the great things, and, you know, we push out their bits of advice. And sometimes when you're on the outside looking in, you think that looks great. And I do it now with a lot of people that I follow or I watch. And when it comes to that, it's something where I am focusing on what they almost have. And you don't see any of the background stuff. You don't see the hardships or the failures or the machinery breaking a lot of the times, or maybe the mental stress that's putting in on them, or just things going wrong in general, family life, whatever it might be. And you just look at, God, they're getting sent out this more, that's fantastic. Or, you know, their person, all these things of them, you know, servicing these properties, they all look amazing. That must be so much fun to do. But what's the scheduling like in behind that? You know, is it a struggle? And so I find myself looking at that now and I understand it a little bit better. So with growth does come some form of sacrifice, and whether that's your own time or whether it's just the hours that you're putting in the background, please don't think at any time when you're not saying focusing on myself like I'm shooting beyond and, you know, out of this world with how the progress is going. But, you know, I feel like we're doing well this season. But whether it's anyone else that's getting sent tens of thousands of pounds worth of kit or the, you know, taking on all these big contracts, like, it can be a struggle. So, but yeah, today what we're talking about is sort of the growth in anyone's company, sort of these completion marks or these stepping stones that we're working through and growing your business to whatever success looks like to you. Because to one man, woman, it might be, you know, making a shed load of money and that might make you happy. The other one, it might be making enough so that you don't need to be employed elsewhere, that you can just be sort of happy in what you're doing, be under your own schedule. My issue personally is I don't like to stop. Like, and I'm sure there's many years out there. I don't like to hit that finish line almost. It's, you know, the race is almost more important than that finish line, that achievement at the end. So what I've always found, and when I talk to certain people, they're often the same. And it's when you get to one place, you're like, right, that's nipped. What next? You know, and it can be dangerous. I'm telling you, you can get to points and you can almost be like, oh, this isn't working out. And it's not until you look back on yourself and you go, geez, like, I've got this, that, the other, these contracts, whatever it might be. And it's not until you try and appreciate it where you can see how far things have grown. So the first thing here on growing your business is look back on your journey. Just take a look. What have you grown in the last 6 to 8 weeks? Like, have you bought other bits of kit you didn't think you'd be able to buy? Is it the fact that a certain type of client's gotten in touch with you and you're now running with a certain type of job? Is it the fact you bought your first ride on, or even just your first pedestrian mower, your first strimmer? Like, you know, look back on it. Count your achievements. Count that as a stepping stone and realize that every time you're hitting one of these points, it's another step forward. And I think that's a super important point to be able to keep yourself grounded, you know, keep yourself earthed in on how everything's going. And it's one of them things where when you do this, you soon start to pick up a momentum within yourself. And I'm not going to lie to you, there's been, and I'm far from it, but sometimes I just feel unstoppable with it. Like when you're putting in for jobs and you're just feeling like you're never getting knocked back, like decent prices are getting accepted time and time again. And you just feel unstoppable with it. You just feel like everything's going your way. And the growth that you're hitting is just in full swing momentum. And when that's happening, you need to ride the wave. Absolutely. So when you're trying to grow and you're hitting these achievements, you know, run with it while you've got that confidence about yourself. Knock on them doors. Speak to, you know, them facility managers. It might be station commanders or, you know, whatever they are, wherever they are. Speak to them, run with it, run with that positivity within yourself, like you are the dog's bee. And like, you know, this needs to be something that you're happy to run into and you're happy to carry and be proud about it. So I think a lot of the times when you're trying to grow your business and you're trying to achieve after, you know, make achievement after achievement, it is that it's factoring that momentum And I keep on saying memento, that momentum and running with it and carrying it through. So for us, where we've been, I mean, the one thing that I've talked on quite a bit is commercial work. We're trying to push into that a bit more. One of the ones that we were talking about for quite a long time was a biomass site that, if you remember me sort of telling you the story, I'll just re-jump through that one. Just, yeah, we got called out to, in my very early days, I suppose we've been going nearly a year, and I got called out to a property to do some lawn treatments. At that time, I didn't have my PA1, PA6, and this was somewhere around a third of an acre site, and he had a lot of, he had all sorts in his lawn. He had clover, creeping buttercup, there's some thistle in there. There's basically just a mix of all the general weeds we get here in the UK. And he was after a treatment plan, whether it was something that we could go and treat for. And the thing is, he was surrounded by farmland and rough land as well. So when I got called out this property, we had a bit of a consultation. I got chatting with a guy, really nice guy. We kind of hit it off, had plenty of talk about. I was still current forces, he was ex-forces. So there was a lot of talking points, but there was also a lot of points where I could sit there and educate him on what my best guess was. So whenever I go into a situation where someone's starting to ask me questions and they want my advice on something during a consultation, I try and be as courteous as I physically can in the fact of the information that I know. And I'm more than happy to say to absolutely anyone, I do not know everything. I far from know everything. But what I do know, I try and really zone in on and know a lot about a little, or, you know, and cover them almost talking points on each subject. So whether it was the condition of a lawn, you know, what does thatch do with it? What does moss going to do? Why does thatch and moss both creep into lawns? Why are we getting weeds? Is there a reason why they're there? You know, and being able to just have a basic understanding at least on how to cover all these subjects and be able to then pass that over to this client in a way that makes you sound like you're the subject matter expert, because that's why they've called you in, because you are the person, you are the SME in that field. So anyway, we're talking away here. I'm building a relationship with him, telling him, you know, I see this big garden, he's got hedges everywhere. I think this could be fantastic, you know, giving all this advice. And it turns out by the end of the consultation, there was nothing I could help him with. I didn't have my PA1, PA6, so I couldn't spray for the weeds. I was completely open and honest about that. I also mentioned the fact that with the area that he's in, that he could be getting a lot of seeds coming in from, you know, exterior of the property. So literally birds dropping seeds, just windblown seeds, things like this. And it would be something you would have to keep on doing rather than just the one treatment and that's it, fixed for life. And so then when we sort of looked at prices and things like that, he was kind of just like, nah, it's not for me, but like, thank you very much. And of that, fully professional, no worries at all. If you need anything else, we're here, we're happy to help. And fast forward a little bit, somewhere, I can't remember fully off the top of my head, but 3 to 6 months later, he then got back in touch with me. And what it was is, he turned out, that bloke at the house turned out to be a manager of a biomass site. And when it came to this, he called us up and he said, Sam, I believe we've met before, you came to my property for XYZ. I said, yep, I fully remember you. He says, well, our current gardener is looking to finish up pretty soon. We're looking to take on site maintenance. He says, we've currently got on our site, we've got areas that are damaged. And I know that you do the lawn care stuff. Would you come in and fix them? I thought, perfect, absolutely. So when I visited this site, that's when he mentioned, you know, after talking and walking on the area, he says, oh, well, do you do the bigger grounds maintenance? In which I said, look, we don't at the moment. Again, I'll be completely honest with you, we don't have the machinery to facilitate an area like this, but it's definitely something we're looking to do. And if the contract was open to tender for, then it's definitely something we would be able to invest in and we'd be able to bid for. So he kept me in mind within that sort of thing. Basically, fast forward a little while, nothing happened. It just went dead. So I thought we were counting on this big site. I thought, great, first big commercial site, we'll take that on. And then there was nothing for about 12 months. So although I sent him the quotes through, all the rest of it, nothing happened. I got no reply, no follow-up email. And I just thought, geez, I must have quoted well above what was, you know, what they were expecting from to not even email me back. You know, so I said nothing, just no follow-up email. What was my mistake at the time? I should have got back in touch. And yeah, fast forward about 12 months, heard nothing. He then got back in touch. Hi, Sam. I was wondering if you'd be interested in the site maintenance. And I've got my story wrong again. It wasn't the site maintenance. He was asking me back for a hedging job at his current property. And this is all going to tie in, so bear with me. So he asked me about the hedges. I came over, visited him, gave him a price for the hedges. And while I was there, I mentioned the site. How are you getting on? Did you find someone to take care of your grounds maintenance on the commercial site? And he said, no, still nothing through. The old garden is finishing up in a few months. And I said to him, oh, well, I sent you over that email. Did you ever receive the quote? And he said, no. And what it turned out to be is that he never provided me the correct email. So when I give him this quote, it never went anywhere. So that was my fault for then not getting in touch via, you know, his mobile number instead of email and saying, look, I haven't heard from you. So he accepted this hedging price to have it trimmed at the start of the year. He invited me back to the commercial site to re-quote it. I'd done that, sent it through. And lo and behold, now fast forwarding until July this year, so only earlier on this month is when we started this maintenance on the commercial site. With that, it is now snowballed from that. So this was just one thing where we are building up these meetings, and I was kind of trying to stay positive throughout the whole thing, and nothing had really happened, nothing had came through. So what this does, what I'm trying to get across with this sort of little story here, is what was basically somewhere in the realms of 18 months in the making, by staying persistent, not losing your rag with the client, doing everything you can on your side, it's then built to a point where something's came through. And, you know, for something that was nothing, or it was a consultation, a lead to what it has, that's been fantastic. Now, we're only 3 visits deep in on this current site, but what it has done is it's went from looking like something around a 2-year contract to now it's looking like it's going to be for a 15 to 20 year contract. Now, if that works and it happens, then fantastic, you know what I mean? But without being there and being ready to go quote and just to be there on the end of the phone and to help, you know, go carry out these jobs whenever they've came our way, we may have not have got that. So one point within this growth was just a bit of persistency, being there, being ready, and just being there to carry out the job as best you can with the information you have. And this is one thing within growth that I would really push across to you, is that if there is a site and a lesson to learn from mine, if there's a site that you haven't heard from and it seemed like a very lucrative site or a very lucrative job, then get back in touch. If you haven't heard anything, if there's another means, if it's popping back into the office and you finished a job half an hour early one day, I would highly recommend popping back in. Because we're all human, and at the end of the day, they've maybe not seen it. It might have ended up in spam. They might have forgot to get back to you. It might be the wrong email address. Any of these things is a possibility. And without just me being there and bringing it back up again, who knows? He might have thought that just we weren't after it anymore, and I never decided to send through a quote, and he didn't want to bring it back up to us. So with things like this, it's something I highly recommend to just follow on. If there's a job you're going for, send that follow-up message. Hi, did you receive the quote? Is everything all right? Have you been able to make a decision? And find out what they're saying. So that's the one thing for us in the beginning there that's kind of, that I wanted to push across, that's been something out of nothing, is the way I always think of that one. And if it does continue for the next 15 to 20 years, like I say, obviously we'll have to sort out the contract price. It's a question I've had a few times already when we spoke about it, is, you know, is the price still going to be the same in 15 years time if we sign on that? And that's going to be something, the way I see it, that we put in that it goes up in line with inflation, or although we're set in for 15 to 20 year contract, we get, I don't know, a free re-quote, or we get the chance to re-quote every several years, you know, to kind of keep the price in a very fair place. But from what it seems like, it's 12 months of the year. There's visits every single month throughout the whole year. And there's, you know, there's winter work to be added additionally to the maintenance. So it sounds like it's going to be fantastic. The other things that I want to kind of talk about here with growth in your business is, like, what's your options? Where are you currently at where you've got a decision to make to where the growth is going to come from? Because with anything, first a seed needs to be planted, right? Something needs to start from somewhere. And this could be anything from your marketing material. So are you doing flyers, door hangers? Is it organic marketing? Are you doing paid marketing, like paid ads through Google or Facebook? However you might be doing it, where is this growth going to be coming from? And when you're starting in that initial place of growing your business and, you know, riding this growth ladder, okay, within jobs and I suppose the turnover within the company, is what are you also after? So are you being specific enough with what jobs you're doing? We're very highly pushing, like if you look across our social media channels now, most things that we put out is either a mainstream service, like we're doing a renovation, you know, something on the what we try to target people in springtime, or it is the large grass cutting of areas, you know, open space management, commercial sites. So whenever we're going out and we're doing these commercial sites, I am trying to take as many photos as I can, before, afters, progress pictures in general, and trying to come up with new different looks in on that photo, on that job, how I can then push it to all these people across Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google even. Don't forget to put pictures on your Google accounts. Doing all these things, and I'm trying to look at different areas where I can say what we are doing, why we're doing it, and also the type of services that are involved within these certain things. So by doing this, I'm hopefully appealing to wider audiences, because I could take the same site that we visit on a Monday. I could take three different pictures on that site of the grass cutting. There might be an overgrown area that we're knocking down, and then we could be using the mechanical brush to sweep all the dirt and grime away from the curb stones there so that weeds can't germinate in between the cracks of the concrete to the curbside. You know, we could be doing them the three different things on that one site, on that one visit, and I can be hitting that angle from a different part of the site. It looks like a different site to an average Joe, and we're speaking on it, we're talking about it, we're talking about the process that we're running through, as well as the gain that that company is actually getting from having us in there. And hopefully, like I say, it's reaching a wider audience, because not everyone just needs grass cutting. Some of them might need planting schemes or rewilding programs, or, you know, all these other different things. So you need to ensure that whatever marketing style you are doing, like I say, flyers, door hangers, you know, organic paid, whatever it might be, that you are not just hitting the singular all the time, unless that is the only job, the only service you want to actually push out. Let's say you're just going into hard landscaping and you're trying to push out patios. You're obviously not going to be talking about grass cutting when you're just after patio work. So you would just be pushing on that one subject. But if you're like myself, that's a more all-rounder, we try and stay a little bit here and there with every aspect of a grounds maintenance sort of team or team schedule, then you want to be hitting these different areas. I mean, even just earlier this week there, we had our first pressure washing job come through of this year. Price accepted and everything. We're not 100% taking it on yet. But again, I haven't pushed that for a while, but because we've got posts out there of us doing pressure washing, little clips, little before and afters, someone's seen it somewhere. And they're inquiring about, you know, if we're still offering that service this time of year. And that is just something that will massively help, whether it's not, it might not even be in a week's time after your post. Quite often, it's later on down the line. I think, like I've said before, 7 to 21 times someone needs to see something before they act on it. It's a crazy amount of times. You know, if you think about this 7 to 21 time thing, you put out one post three times a week on a social media platform, let's say Facebook, only 10% of your audience is ever going to see your organic posts. So if you've got 100 followers, you're going to have 10 people that might see that post at any one time. That's just the way algorithms work. With organic, when you're not pushing anything paid-wise, it's only around 10% that gets to see it. So for that to be 21 times seen through, or 7 to 21 times, let's say Mrs. Jones is sat there now going, I really need to get someone in for this grass. Her thought process ends there. They see your post. She's like, oh. And then they might see Yvonne go past. That's two. They might see an Instagram post or reel go through. Three. They might get a recommendation. Oh, do you know that J-Rock's doing this? That's four. And you know what I mean? It can take that many more times to be able to, for someone to act on their current their current thought process of taking on a certain type of service. So the more you can never be pushing enough is what I'm getting at. So more than what you ever think you can, push these different before afters, and however you're going to be laying them out within the job formats or within how you're describing your services, keep it going multiple times, multiple different networks, multiple types of services, and you will find things come back through. So we did this heavy in the start of the year, and we took on this Spotlight magazine that I've told you about before, and we found that being a huge thing. We got to the point where we were fully booked. We were kind of doing late nights a lot more than what I wanted to. Because although we're in a position where we're trying to grow, and many of you will be the same, you want to grow, you want to earn more money, you want more staff, all this other stuff. We got to a point where we were just a bit burnt out. We were even saying that last week, the Friday just kind of comes around and you go, Jesus, it's been another 2 weeks. You know, 2 weeks of time has passed by and, you know, we're back here again. And things just go at a flash through the growing season. So it's kind of keeping on top with your schedules, you know, how much you can take on, and also looking at your staff, if you've got your staff there as well, and going, like, how's everyone doing? So what I like to do is, like, you know, generally ask, like, Dale that works with us, like, how are we doing? Are we all right? Like, how are you feeling after that job? We take on a new place, and I'm like, how was that for you? You know, and I take on this this feedback, because it's all well and good me saying yes to jobs, me quoting jobs, and me trying to push the work. But if I'm, you know, leaving people in the dirt behind us and just sending them out to do all sorts of work and they're completely burnt to a crisp out there and just no morale, then something's going to fall through. You're going to lose that person, or the quality is going to drop, or we're going to start getting complaints from clients because we're just switching off a little bit. And they're all possibilities that will happen if you drive it too hard. So you need to be able to do all these methods of growth, push the boundaries of everything that you're doing. But again, like what I was saying with, like, the progress, when you look back and you check on all the things you've achieved, don't forget to look behind you and, you know, have a look and reassess, how is everything going? Speak to the people left and right of you and assess that situation, because I do believe that as one person, you can only go so far. You know, to be able to properly grow and to push your company as much as you may want to push it, you need the right people by your side. So that's left us in a place now where we were heavily, like I say, getting busy. We are towards the back end of the year, so it feels now, and like, or should I say, of our season. And we are in a situation where we're looking to take on this second person. This is someone that I have known for many years. We worked in the military together. Not so much any experience within the grounds maintenance, but as an individual and work ethic, he fits in very well. So we're in a position now where we're looking to take on someone else, or we have taken on someone else, and we're looking to grow at a more moderate rate. So from the way I've been able to see it and what I've noticed over the last couple of weeks is that second person you get, or the first person you get on your team, you know, two including yourself, you can still find that you can push out the same similar amount of jobs. Like, there's not that much more growth in the turnover that you're going to be getting through. You need, what I'm seeing now that I look back on it, is you take a hit somewhat on the wage that you may be paying them, but what it then gains you is it's the fact that someone can cover if something goes wrong, right? It's going to be very rare that you're both out the game at the same time. You've got someone to be able to carry the weight if you're going away. So for example, Dale was able to take holidays last week, and then I was able to take a holiday this week. So I had from Friday till Wednesday off, back and work Thursday. I haven't taken a midsummer holiday in like 3 years, like a proper one, and that's being part-time. So to be able to do it in my first year, I generally didn't think that was going to be a possibility. But building up that trust, Dale being a fantastic worker as she is, she was able to carry, you know, the weight of the company and kind of get through it all. So that's one thing that I'm really noticing. The pros, and there's not really any cons, as I say, for me, myself, so far. The only thing to be aware is don't push the boat out too much, depending on who you've got working with you. Because I feel in a very blessed situation where I've got great people on the team, and I feel like we work fantastic as a team. But that might not be your situation. You might have someone that isn't competent, You might have someone that's got a bit of an attitude problem. You might have someone that's in it for themselves and will actually try and steal work from you behind your back. So, you know, many other factors as well. No one's completely good or bad, but I'm just saying, please don't take this and be like, ah, the answer is to get someone else. It sounds amazing, because I know other people out there really struggle, and they have struggled for a lot of years with the type of people they've been getting in on their team. So it's something to really bear in mind. But that's been probably a big element to our growth, is the fact that I've been able to have someone fantastic with us since the start of the season. And we've been able to get into a rhythm that, you know, if we've came to a max of our amount of work, we've been able to still share that load and be sort of neck and neck with each other and feel the burn at the same time. Like, this is the most stress-free I've been, you know, in the 3 and a bit years that I've been doing this for now. Like, I don't feel like I'm fully burnt out. Lessons learned is another big one. So if you're going through a stage where you're now feeling really burnt out through the hitting this mid-season, like, what's the reasons for that? Have you taken any time off yet? Or have you, everything that you're taking on, has it been getting just a bit too much? So you need to be able to evaluate that with whatever you're doing. For myself, feeling last year and the year before that I was getting a bit burnt out towards, you know, May is always hard because everything grows so mad, but to be feeling a bit burnt out by the mid-season sucked. You know, I felt completely mentally drained in parts of the other years, but this year I've been able to learn by that, and I thought, right, we've got the chance to be able to take a bit of time off. Let's take it before I need it. And by doing that, I came back. I was saying to Dale and Ed, the girl and guy that works with us, that it wasn't a full holiday as such. You know, it was going back home. I was still doing invoices every night. I was still dealing with clients throughout the days. I was still dealing with quote requests. So it wasn't a full, you know, turn your phone off type break. But what it was for me, it was a chance to just kind of be off the tools for a little while, be with family, and just enjoy sort of my surroundings that way. That I was able to sort of, I don't know, I suppose, even though I was still doing stuff, give myself a break a little bit. And that's maybe why I've came in now and I've been able to start going with the podcast again, is because I've had that little bit of a break. And, you know, it's just lessons learned. So the growth within your business is things like staying persistent. No matter what's kind of going on, no matter what's sort of hitting you, staying persistent with the things that are worth being persistent about. There's far too many times when we can lose time with dealing with clients that are just after nothing. An example here, and I'm not saying it was a complete waste of time because I never followed it through fully, but I got a what seemed like a quote request on a pretty large property, very close to us, within a couple of miles from my own house. And I thought, fantastic. And he was talking about the fact he'd overseeded and all this, and he's got this loan, and but it's not doing as well as that he wanted it to. And I thought, fantastic, this could be a great job. We're, you know, soon to be heading into autumn. I could line this up nicely. And as we were talking, he was trying to kind of get information out of me. He was wanting me to come by to his place and advise him on what to do, blah, 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 blah. And as I was speaking to him, I says, is this, I just got this weird feeling about it. I says, is this a job that you're hoping to contract us in for? Or are you literally just after advice? And his response was something along the lines of, well, I'm pretty handy, but I could use your advice. So, you know, he was expecting a call out for me to go to his property, tell him what to do, give him the professional advice, you know, that I've learned, that I've researched, that I've put practical work into to, you know, to know what I know. And he was wanting me to just call, you know, call out to his property, advise him, then not get paid at the end of it sort of thing. There was no talking of, I'll pay you for a consultation or anything like that. He was just after a bit of free advice of my time, and then he was going to crack on himself and do the work himself. So, you know, I seen this and straight away I was like, nope, you know, back off straight away. And to me, that was something where I was like, you know, a year ago even, I would have got so roped into that. Like, you know, I got the address on Google Maps. I looked into it and I thought that was like, it was a lovely big property, I'm telling you. And it was something that I looked at. And I know a year ago I would have looked at into it and thought, you know, just for the off chance that he changes his mind, I'm there. And but the truth be told, we're too busy. We're too busy to be going to properties. And even though it's relatively close and just giving free advice to people, spending an hour there talking to someone, either in my evening when I should be with the family, or taking that out from me doing a job somewhere else, and just, you know, doing this thing that was never going to return any work. So it does happen. There is, I don't want to call him a time waster because he isn't. He was just asking for a bit of advice and there was nothing wrong in that. But from a business point of view, you can't be doing that too much. A one-off, probably not going to hurt you. It's probably not going to make any dramas. You could go away. You know, it still builds a good name for you. You know, and I've been to consultations before with the expectancy of taking on that job or winning that job. And I've given them loads of advice. And then we've worked out at the end and I'm like, I've said to them, I don't think I can help you here, actually, blah, blah, blah. You might be better, or we're not going to have enough time for it. It might be better going to this person. And I've given away jobs like that, but that's on my terms. That's been my call. Whereas I don't think it's very fair for that to be on the client's terms, you know? So it's just something to be aware of. Although there's people that's going to try and take your time instead of waste it. They're going to try and take your time. If you can get the ones that are worth prioritizing and being persistent about lined up, then chase it. And if you fully believe, even if it doesn't work, if you fully believe something's worth being persistent, it could be a chain of schools, it could be certain factory work, it could be a certain estate work. If you believe being persistent and dropping in and talking to them and grafting to try and to win this contract or to win a job, then by all means do it. But what I'm saying is make sure within the growth of your business, your time is allocated in a correct manner. So this could be even you 5, 10, 15 years down the line that you're still finding ways of, you know, losing time. Are you being strict enough? Are you prioritizing the right things? Or are you kind of loosey-goosey with the whole thing? Being able to prioritize that time where you should have persistency, I think is a real key thing when trying to grow your business forward and upwards. And for us, that takes us to the second point here, really, of after the persistency, it is bringing in the right people around you. If you are looking to sort of grow, then whatever way that you sort of sort through your potential subcontractors or employees when you're recruiting, make sure that goes down the right way and you actually pick in the right person, because what you don't want to do is hire. I mean, the art of hiring and firing is meant to be, you know, gold standard. If you can hire and fire as quick as, you know, one to the next, then you will get there in the end and you'll have the art of it. Luckily, I've never had to fire anyone yet, but you need to be willing to do that and not hold on to the bad apples for so long that it sort of spoils the bunch. And that's an art within itself. But being able to have the right help around you to be able to grow when required is a massive bonus as well. So with growing your business and trying to take on that little bit more, I cannot recommend it highly enough that you just have the right people surrounding you. Bring on to the third point there within the type of works. So with the marketing that we spoke about, it is about figuring out what's around you. What's the best means of marketing for you? Is everyone taken to social media? Do you have a high growth of social media in your area? You might just be in a little village that is, you know, full of older clients that you know that knocking on doors and dropping cards through the door is going to be a higher hit. Or in certain areas, it might not be a whole village, but in certain areas, you know, right, leaflet drop in this area, right, I need to be able to do targeted marketing through Facebook onto this other area, this other estate. And if you can be flexible with your type of marketing and the way to push it and where to push it, then that will be a massive gain for you as well to kind of open up them gates and get it through the door. And this is why we kind of doubled down on that Spotlight magazine. Again, what I've already spoke about, but don't bore you with it, but it was a winner for us. Other years, we found Facebook being fantastic. I paid for an ad start this year, you know, £25-30. We never had a single response. And I know that's only £30 in comparison to the, I think we were paying £205 nearly for this magazine that gets dropped to 40, 50,000 residential and commercial establishments. But as soon as that dropped on, say, the 1st of March, April, May, whenever it was, we were having inquiries through as of the next day. It was literally dropping and then the phone was going. So for us, that was working really fantastic. And I thought that was kind of dead than water. I didn't really think magazines worked anymore. What was very naive of me because I've never tried it. But by me exploring this different option, it turned out to, you know, we must have paid close to £1,000 in marketing over this year. And it's, you know, it's five, 10 times it. I don't know. We've had a lot of work through with it, and we've turned an awful lot of work away, a lot of work away as well. So that's something that we've now put a halt to. So with the market, knowing when to push, knowing when to stop, it was getting to the point where we were getting requests coming through, and I was saying I was going to be with them, and I wasn't able to make it there. Like, we were going 2-3 weeks without me actually visiting any properties or even replying to these messages. And I started to hit a point where I was like, this is now doing us more harm than good, because I'm not being able to keep up our name of being, you know, completely there when we say we're going to be. So I had to then take out them adverts. And then I got in touch with all these people saying, apologies, I thought we were going to have the room. Unfortunately, we don't. And that's the kind of way I went down with it. So knowing when to push, when to pull, when to market, when to not market. And this is a grand thing that you should get the art of. And to an extent, you're always pushing your marketing. So if you're trying to grow through these stages, you've always got something going. You're never going to be down to zero. So even Facebook posts and Instagram posts, that's still organic marketing. Okay, you're still pushing out these ads, I suppose, because every single time you put out a post and say, this is a fence we installed last week, or this is a border that we've just put a new planting scheme in today, or whatever it is, you're just sharing it with the world, but it's going to be getting people thinking, and that might bring you through to your next client. So it's always on and up. You're never at complete zero, or never let yourself be at complete zero. But that's basically all. I just wanted to kind of jump in with this podcast here and just speak a little bit about where we've been at, the reasons why we've been out over the last month. I said on the last podcast that, you know, hopefully this is the start of it. So I don't want to push anything and put too much pressure on things, but this is definitely the start of me wanting to get back into it. I don't want the podcast to fade out. If it's helping you guys, then please, as you know, get on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a review of any star rating that you feel is appropriate, and even to warm up and go even one bit better, if you can leave a little review on there, then that'll be massively appreciated as well. I don't believe you need to log in. You just go on through Apple Podcasts, click onto this podcast. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom there, there is a little 5-star rating where you can rate up to 5 stars. Put in your star rating and leave a bit of feedback for me. That would be fantastic. And hopefully we can get this going again. We have got a couple of guests that have reached out over this sort of last sort of 6 weeks and said that they're happy to kind of get in on the podcast and share some of the things that have been happening with them. So we're in early talks with that at the moment. With that, I want to be able to kind of push that back down and get on with these sort of shared podcasts with other people. And if I can make that work, then, you know, hopefully hit it before winter, because we do all the guests appearances throughout winter and all the interviews. But if I can get a few more tied in throughout this growing season, then I absolutely 100% will do wherever I can. So anyway, everyone, thank you very much for joining us on this week's episode of J-Rock Screen Industry Podcast. I hope to see you again next week. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a great weekend and keep growing.